Welcome to your Found Family podcast, where we don't just have a heart-to-heart, we connect soul to soul. I'm your host, Lizzie, a certified coaching practitioner who found family outside of blood family. In our Found Family, you are accepted and assured that you are not alone. Subscribe and tune in for educational and empowering soul chats with women from all over the world, talking about well-being, personal growth and development, and mental and emotional health. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Found Family. I'm really excited. I have another special guest with me here today, Niall, and we are going to be talking about how to become more aware of our emotions. Niall Beck is a certified EQI 2.0 emotional intelligence coach, life and wellness coach, adult educator, leadership trainer, and Reiki master. In her work, Niall is deeply committed to bridging differences, fostering gratitude, self-awareness, authentic conversations, and non-judgment, and helping people heal, learn, grow, and rise up to be their best every day in every possible way through self-love practices. She is also obsessed with lifelong learning, facing life's truths, and the human potential. What a beautiful intro. Hello, Niall, and welcome to Found Family.
Hello, Lizzie. Thank you so very much. I'm really honored and humbled to be here with you.
Oh my gosh, I am honored and humbled to have you, and I am vibing with your bio. As soon as I read that when you sent it to me via email, I was like, lifelong learner, yes, facing life truth, yes, human potential, like absolutely, yes, yes, yes. I'm so excited. And what an incredible topic that we are going to be talking about today. I feel like, especially with everything that's going on in our world right now, you know, definitely being able to have a soul chat about how to become more aware of our emotions is going to, you know, really be this powerful tool for all of us, really. I know that I'm excited to also be able to hear from you and to be able to have this space to talk about these things. So to start us off, I would love to first hear a little bit more about you. And so when did you realize that you wanted to become an emotional intelligence coach?
When did I realize? I think it was an ongoing journey of realizing. It happened in stages for me. Mm-hmm. When I first became a personal fitness trainer in 1995, I really quickly realized that there were a lot of emotions that come up in movement mm-hmm. and with my clients and my participants in my group classes. And one of my first clients was a gentleman who traveled around the world studying, researching, and writing about the human potential. Mm. And he worked with the more modern day philosophers, and Ram Dass was one of them, Joseph Campbell. There were some really incredible figures that he actually was able to directly work with and study
wow.
and learn with. And I realized very quickly that I was also quite captured by the topic of the human potential. And even though I was in the arena of physical fitness, I knew that there's so much more to being a human being. And I personally have always felt emotions deeper and in more ways than more people around me tend to. So that was sort of the starting point. And then when I entered into my master's degree in 2003, it was essentially learning about self-study and reflective practice. And in reflective practice, you try to look back at why you do the things that you do, and what kept coming up were the emotional responses, among other things. And then as I carried on, I started teaching in adult education best practices, which is basically teaching other adult educators how to teach better, for lack of a better way of explaining it, as well as people in business and people in their home life, just teaching people about how people learn and how people understand information and how emotions are tied into that. And in teaching that, there was a small emotional intelligence piece that was in that. And I started to expand a little bit. So in about 2012, I think I started teaching that program. and the emotional intelligence piece became increasingly of interest to me. And then in 2014, I really started to think more and feel more about the fact that I have, and this was the biggest catalyst, I had so many people in my inner circle that were affecting me negatively on the emotional level. And I didn't feel emotionally safe with them. And I didn't even know what that meant at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that this is something I needed to explore and reflect on. And so by the end of 2014, I really started to get much more involved in learning and researching and understanding the different facets of emotional intelligence.
Mm.
And then finally, 3 years ago, I became certified and started coaching people. So that was, in a nutshell, my journey.
That's so beautiful. And your story really resonates with me because as a fellow, you know, highly sensitive person, I can definitely relate that I have been very affected by the energies around me. I've been very aware of the energies around me. And, you know, it is so beautiful that, as you said, it is a journey, this realization of like, okay, I want to go into this line of work. I want to go into this type of practice because of, you know, what I'm realizing. And this is where, like, visually, I felt like in a similar way, 3 to 4 years ago was when I started to really dive deeper into my personal growth and development practice. And although I've thought about being a coach for quite some time now, I would say like at least 10 years, this idea of, you know, really wanting to dive in deeper came from a place of like curiosity about, you know, similarly like the human potential and how we can evolve and, you know, take the things that we've learned and be able to implement them and teach them. So, you know, it's incredible the type of work that you're doing. And, you know, on behalf of the planet, thank you.
And thank you for all of the work you're doing as well.
Oh, of course. Thank you. And so to dive deeper into emotions, what does it mean to be emotionally aware?
Well, there's different facets to this. And I mean, if you're talking about emotional self-awareness, the program that I use and have studied from, they kind of define it as the degree to which you're in touch with your feelings and your emotions and are able to distinguish one emotion from another and understand why that emotion has resulted. But there's also the being emotionally aware of others. So of ourselves, there's emotions, there's feelings, there's moods, and of others, there's also emotions, feelings, and moods. So becoming aware of those things requires a number of things. If you would like sort of a distinction between them, I mean, there is a lot of debate in the field about exactly what is an emotion versus what is a feeling versus what is a mood. But I tend to subscribe to the thinking that emotions are really a very initial response to our triggers. And I'm not talking about trauma triggers. I'm talking about any trigger, which is really just any response to any stimulus. And that's just the initial response that happens in our brain and the chemicals that are released into our bodies. And then there's a sort of a feedback loop that lasts for about 6 seconds. And then there's the understanding of the feelings, which is much more the soaking in of that emotion. And it can be both physical and emotional, and it can last a little bit longer. And then there's moods, which are a little bit more generalized and can be reflective of all kinds of things, the environment that we're in, what we ate and how we're feeling physically, how much sleep we had, and then the moods go on. So being emotionally aware is really being aware, I think, of at the base level, those three things in ourselves, and then really understanding that in others. And then there's moving into the expressions of this. So that's sort of the extension of being emotionally aware, and that's our expression of our thoughts, our words, our behaviors, our body language. And then there's micro expressions, which is a whole other podcast chat. the much more nuanced and millisecond happening of a particular body language reaction, usually facial expression reaction, that for most people isn't even detectable.
Wow. I'm so grateful for how concise you are in describing all three things, because as you said, I think there are different opinions and different, you know, thinkings around all of these. I would agree and sort of subscribe to your distinction between them and your like definitions of all of them. And it's funny because I have been like, you know, obsessed. Talk about how you said earlier in your bio that like obsessed with all these things. Like I have truly been obsessed with understanding, you know, emotions versus feelings and character traits versus personality traits. And like the psychology is just so fascinating to me. And so I think that this, the way that you just described it, really helps to give me a clearer picture of this, those distinguish. They are now distinguished in my head, if that makes sense.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. And I mean, there's also so much debate about what are the basic emotions and what are the extensions or the more nuanced extensions of the basic emotions. Some people say there's only 5 basic emotions. Some people say there's only 7. Some say there's only 4. And some say there's only 8. And so, I mean, but it is important that in terms of emotional, being emotionally aware, that we become emotionally literate in ourselves and understand what we actually are feeling. So it is important to also be aware of the general basic emotions and then how they can be a little bit more nuanced. So the general emotions, I tend to go with the basic 7, which are joy, sadness, anger, fear, disgust, contempt, and surprise. But then every once in a while, I change my mind and I go with a different set of basic emotions. There's lots of different wheels that I work with when I'm coaching people. And the point is to just get to being very present with yourself so that you can become aware of what it is that you're feeling and to recognize that you are not your feelings, that they are a part of what's happening inside of you, and that it's okay. And we need to feel what we feel.
Yes. And that, I love that you brought that up. And I'm so grateful that you brought this specific like awareness and truth to this episode, that we are not our thoughts. One thing that I actually just recently have been learning more about this truth. And I read a book called Brain Lock, which is Freeing Yourself from Obsessive Compulsive Disorder, which is something that I have been living with. And, you know, it was definitely a struggle not understanding how to get in tune with my emotions and how to really understand like what I was feeling versus what I was thinking. And there was a lot of like tug and pull that I experienced, especially as a young person, without like the knowledge and the awareness. And being able to really understand that we are not our thoughts is such a comfort, because, you know, for those who I've been connecting with on Twitter and, you know, just on my online fam who also struggle with OCD, you know, I actually was doing a book club with a few people and we were going back and forth about this. And the scary thing is that when we have a type of response to something, and as you said, the trigger doesn't have to be a trauma trigger, but just anything, the responses are so real, and it's so easy to think that whatever I'm thinking must be truth, and however I'm feeling must be truth. And having being able to separate thoughts and the truth is, you know, is definitely a skill, and I've been practicing it. And, you know, the book is fantastic at explaining like these 4 steps to really recover from, you know, obsessive compulsive, like this brain loss that he's talking about. But I love that you brought that up, because it is such an important thing to really like understand.
Absolutely. I would love to pick up that book too. It sounds like a good one.
Definitely. Highly recommend.
Thank you.
And so, of course. And so with, you know, emotional intelligence, how are we able to increase it?
Increase it. Okay, that is a very big question to unpack. There are countless answers about that. And I originally started with Daniel Goleman's emotional intelligence book that hot off the shelves in 1995, I believe. I picked it up and started reading about it. He had started to develop programs and certifications, but before he started doing that, I decided to go with a particular model that really resonated for me by an Israeli psychologist named Ruvon Baron. And as you introduced me in the beginning, it's called the EQI 2.0. It's been refined over the years. He was one of the pioneers in emotional intelligence as well back in the 1990s. And I believe he even worked a little bit with Daniel Goleman, who is supposedly, some people call him the founding father of emotional intelligence. Regardless, I really found this particular model to be the best indicator of accuracy in what's going on with the people that I've coached and used this particular assessment tool. So I really like this particular way of looking at how to increase emotional intelligence. This model looks at 15 different aspects of emotional and social functioning, things like your self-regard, or it's kind of like a piece of self-esteem. Mm-hmm. It looks at measuring your level of self-actualization, your emotional self-awareness, your emotional expression, your assertiveness, your independence, your empathy, of course. That's what people always go to when they think of emotional intelligence as a first line of thought. It measures your interpersonal relationships, your social responsibility, your ability to problem solve, your impulse control, and several more. And I kind of, when I'm working with people to increase emotional intelligence, I work with a few different tools, and this one's a pretty big one. I also look at what Daniel Goleman put out as a baseline, which was dividing our emotional intelligence into four basic areas. That is self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and social management. So really, it's about becoming really aware of who we are and how we are in the world, how we feel inside, how we feel about ourselves, what we're doing about that, and then how we manage ourselves. And then it also looks at the social awareness, what's going on outside of us in our environment, what's going on with the people that we interact with, and how we manage ourselves in our interactions. So, increasing is really looking at those different elements of how we are and where we're at and where we want to be, and looking at how we can feed that gap. And it's big work. It's
right.
It's ongoing.
It's so true.
Partway through my journey. So that's a massive topic to dive into.
And again, beautifully packaged into, like, it's like you condensed, you know, what could have been on its own, like a whole hour podcast, into like 5 minutes. So I applaud you, because I am a, you know, wordy Italian, and I sometimes stumble, and something that I am aware of and, you know, working on. But, you know, it's incredible that, there are, you know, I actually have the book, Emotional Intelligence, and I started reading it. And then when I picked it up at the time, it was like, not that it was too technical, but I think I wasn't just quite there yet to really open myself up to learning like all of the science behind it. But now I am extremely fascinated with, you know, all of the different components, and that makes complete sense. And I think that those four buckets that you just shared really does summarize what I, you know, have recently been learning about emotional intelligence, and would agree. And I thank you for elaborating on that and bringing your wealth of knowledge into, you know, helping to really share this message with everyone, because it's so important in the home, at work, with friends, to have this emotional intelligence, it's something that, you know, can really be applied in our entire, you know, in every single part of our lives.
Absolutely. I think it really all starts with awareness, and awareness of self is always the starting point. So thank you for that. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. A piggyback question, which we kind of already started, you know, answering, is what will becoming more aware of our emotions do for us and for others? So since we started touching upon it, if you have other thoughts or comments on that, would love to hear your thoughts on that.
On what will becoming more aware of our emotions do for us?
Do for us and also do for others.
Yeah. Well, I think the awareness of our emotions is, as I just said, really critical. I think that every system in our body is interdependent on each other, and our physical, mental, emotional, and energy states, they all affect each other. So becoming aware of our emotions, I believe, better positions us to manage what we do about our emotions so that we can optimize all of our physical, mental, emotional, and energetic states, and then we can optimize how we interact in the world and with others. I mean, in a nutshell, like, awareness helps us be in the present moment, and that awareness is the best guide for what we can do in that moment and every moment forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, just being aware of it, it impacts our decisions, our behaviors, our actions, our reactions, our choices, our interactions, the words we say, our performance, whatever we're doing. It's the list goes on.
Right. Absolutely. And if I might add too, when it comes to others, I have, you know, been learning that being very emotionally aware also helps us to be stronger communicators with the people around us as well. And I think that a really important thing to bring up right now that I was actually just chatting about with a friend of mine who is a yoga instructor, and we're the two of us are working together to put a virtual retreat together for everyone. Which will be
nice.
Coming next month, and I'm really excited about it.
Yes, I want to attend.
Oh, I am so excited. We can chat more about it too. And if there are things that you'd like to work with us on, I, you know, would love to welcome collaboration on it. I think, again, this is a beautiful time for everyone to join forces, to come together, to share their strengths and their knowledge and put it on the table, and then, you know, it's like a puzzle that's all the pieces, and we're working together to put this puzzle together. So absolutely.
Love it. Yes.
It's literally something just yesterday that we were talking about as we were, you know, the two of us were just vibing with one another and vibing with just the frequency and the energies of the universe. And it was beautiful. And what came up in our discussion was, especially because we are all being quarantined and we are all, you know, being forced to stay home and to interact with those that are in our household. You know, some are with their significant others, some are with roommates, some are with their parents, with their families, their children. And it is, you know, a very turbulent time right now. And having this emotional awareness will strengthen our ability to not only communicate what our needs are, to feel safe, to feel comforted, to feel at peace, but also to use the emotional intelligence to communicate this to others. And what comes to mind is, you know, understanding the five love languages, which, you know, is a wonderful self-awareness practice that I have a quiz on my website that is the like a self-assessment quiz, which is understanding your personal self-love languages. And then there are the love languages for, you know, a romantic partner that understanding whether it's, you know, acts of service, if it's physical touch, if it's words of affirmation, if it's gift giving, if it's quality time, being able to have this emotional intelligence, I think, you know, really can help strengthen. Okay, so if my love language, self-love language is, you know, words of affirmation, and I have this intelligence, this awareness of that, how can I strengthen this need to fulfill you know, this desire to feel comfort, to feel peace. And then it's like, okay, journaling,
yes.
You know, reading books, like giving yourself pep talks. If it's, you know, acts of service, like what things can I do for myself? And the same holds true when we're talking about the people in our lives. And so as we're home right now, mm-hmm. I think that this is a really crucial activity to do with the family and with the friends and with the colleague or roommates, is to be able to again, like, spend time together and learn about one another, and then figure out how we can, you know, serve one another and be there in support. And it all stems from exactly what you just said, which, you know, again, is all under the emotional intelligence. So I just wanted to add that.
Oh, thank you. And I love that you're creating greater awareness out there around self-love, and the fact that the awareness needs to be there about how do we actually love ourselves. The original mm-hmm. book came out to help us understand how others love us and how we love others, but what about how we love ourselves? And I think that's
right.
Brilliant that you're putting that out there and creating tools to and understandings about the fact that this needs to happen and how do we do it. So bravo.
Oh, thank you. And same to you. Again, it's just the Avengers always comes to mind, where it's like this collaboration of like superheroes, and it's, you know, uniting different superheroes that come with their own, you know, special uniqueness and talents and skill sets, and merging together, you know, forming a group and being able to help save the planet. So right now we are all, you know, joining forces to help spread these good vibes.
I love it.
I love it too. And so in a similar way about, you know, asking and understanding how we can increase our emotional intelligence, I think another question that sometimes comes to mind is, you know, are we able to manage our emotions?
Well, it might be a little bit more nuanced than managing the emotions. I think it's a little bit more about managing what we do about our emotions,
mm-hmm.
because the emotions need to be allowed to be felt. So it's something that we must do. We must be able to feel safe and present with our emotions and allow them to actually happen and flow through us in order to let it flow and let it go, which is absolutely essential and unfortunately not widespread done. I think that in prior generations, out of lack of feeling psychologically, emotionally safe, I think that a lot of people have shelved their emotions and didn't allow themselves to actually feel it. So mm-hmm. I think number one, most important, is that we have to allow ourselves the safe space to feel what we feel. And of course, if we don't feel safe emotionally or psychologically, we need to remove ourselves from a situation so that we can let ourselves feel it. I think breath, there is nothing to be lost by taking a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
And so managing what we do about our emotions, it's absolutely essential to pause. And I know that for so many people, myself included in the past, even now, sometimes it's really uncomfortable in the middle of a heated conversation or a difficult situation, a circumstance that has triggered us or whatever it may be, to actually pause. That sort of awkward silence can be an anxiety builder. But with practice, we can actually use that awkward silence to become stronger internally and take the time to actually breathe. And if at the beginning of our journey of working through our practice of managing what we do about our emotions, getting up and saying, I just need a moment to take a bathroom break or whatever it is so that you can exit the space in the room, if that's possible, then do that. But
that's a great idea.
Yeah, we need to allow ourselves to let the feelings come through us. And remember, as you and I were talking before, that we are not our emotions. And as you said, we are not our thoughts either. We need to be able to separate our thoughts also from our emotions. Otherwise, what happens is we can start to let that settle in to become emotional content inside of our bodies, then it mm-hmm. becomes stressful inside of us, and it becomes believable stories sometimes, and it forms what I call mental models, which we create feelings and associations and thoughts and circumstances, and we put them all together, and we create these sort of black and white situations inside of our bodies and minds. And we need to be able to separate our emotions from our thoughts and know that what we are feeling isn't necessarily what the truth is. And it's okay.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. I have goosebumps. That is, so, you know, like I'm feeling like my physiology is shifting as we're speaking. Like I can feel my body wanting to take a deep breath, just hearing okay. your very comforting and soothing voice, like speaking truth into us and really making this known, because it is true. And I so honor and appreciate that you shared the perception shift, that it's not, you know, managing our emotions, but managing our behavior. And that is so true. And I think that, again, just using myself as an example about how I was very, very conflicted and confused about, you know, what am I thinking versus what am I feeling versus what's true and what's not. I also believed that I had to control my feelings and had to control my emotions. And, you know, for those who have been following me on Twitter and listening to my podcast, I've been very open and speaking very vulnerably that I grew up in a household with a narcissistic parent and mm-hmm. like narcissistic personality disorder. And that paired with, you know, the OCD paired with scrupulosity, which is, you know, an OCD subset that is about religion. You know, I was definitely mentally binding myself because I believed that feelings were the devil. You know, I wanted, I have countless journal entries praying to God that I would just be a robot because I didn't want to feel. And I'm getting emotional, like even thinking about how I used to think, but that unfortunately is the truth, is that I was trying to suppress my emotions. I was trying to suppress my feelings. You know, I was told a lot, like, you're so emotional, you're so emotional. And that mm-hmm. for a child who is a very empathetic, highly sensitive person, you know, I didn't see it as a superpower back then. I saw it as a weakness yeah. and I saw it as something that turned into self-loathing, which is where my mission and where I feel, you know, my dharma is in life is to help spread self-love, is because I felt, you know, through the roof levels of self-loathing that was, you know, at one point leading me to have suicidal thoughts, and the depression and the anxiety were just awful. And yet, you know, to everyone in my life, I was still bubbly and happy as an extrovert. I'm just naturally, you know, and a very talkative and very friendly person. And inside there was this inner storm, this inner turmoil, and I didn't know how to cope or how to manage. And so, mm-hmm. you know, as my therapist taught me that my anxiety, you know, all of the obsessive compulsive disorder was basically a way for me to cope with my anxiety, because I was trying to control things. And it makes sense yeah. that I was trying to control even my own emotions. Instead of letting myself feel them, I was trying to control them. And that is very sad. And, you know, I want to, you know, hold hands with you and with our fellow soul sisters to really share the message that, you know, allow yourself to feel, allow yourself to, you know, really take the time that's necessary to process things and to be able to, as you said, learn how to manage our behaviors through, you know, breathing and doing the things that you mentioned, like that is what's going to, you know, be sort of that like cushion and help us to then be more emotionally aware. So it really, it's all connected, and it's so beautiful that when you feel like your third eye is open and your chakras are aligned, and it's like, wow, I see the world through a completely new set of, you know, lenses. And my, I was just watching the Avatar movie, and it's mm-hmm. like to be able to see the world, you know, through like their eyes, that everything has this connection and that we're all connected. I mean, it's just, it's beautiful. So I love this.
Oh, I love it too. Yeah, it's so important to be able to be yourself and express yourself and think your thoughts and say the words that you have to say. And when those are suppressed in childhood suppression, in the programming that we all had, in what we learned that wasn't necessarily our truth, mm-hmm. it's hard to get to being authentic until you have the practice and the safe space to be able to understand what your truth really is without all
right.
of the influences and our circle of influences. So you've come a long way. Wow.
That's thank you. Thank you. And it came down to like one specific incident that brought me to what I had thought to be my lowest point. And I celebrate that even in that difficult moment, it gave birth. You know, I felt like so connected to the phoenix, you know, like being mm-hmm. reborn from the ashes. Like that is really something that resonated with me because of getting to this place where, you know, the self-hatred and the, you know, everything was just especially the OCD, the negative thoughts that were just like a broken record in my head, just playing over and over and over again. And this was almost 5 years ago, mm-hmm. maybe four and a half. Yeah. So like almost five. And that was, you know, really this point in time where I thought, okay, I need to do something differently. And I picked up every, you know, self-help book, every lesson that I could learn from any which way. And the books really, really helped me. And so I didn't know about podcasts then, but again, this is also just further emphasizing, you know, really the mission for Found Family is to, you know, welcome people and into this Found Family because we're all finding each other. And it's, you know, although not blood family, we're Found Family, and to be able to support one another and really just see each other, not just, you know, look at someone, but to see one another in this, you know,
yes,
that's
absolutely
that's important. And I could keep talking about this forever. And I love and honor the time that we have. I do have one final question as we are coming to a close. You know, of course, we've talked about this earlier in our soul chat, that as we are dealing with a lot of uncertainties during these turbulent times, what are some self-awareness practices that can help our audience feel less anxious and more relaxed?
Okay. Well, I mean, it is kind of going back to one of your earlier questions about how do we, you know, manage what we do about our emotions. And I think I can't say it enough that we need to really become emotionally literate about ourselves and understand what it is that we're going through and get really present with what we are experiencing in the moment that we're feeling anxiety or fear. So mm-hmm. again, you know, taking that deep breath. And I often, with my children, when they're going through an anxious moment or they're being triggered, I sit with them and look with them and ask them to actually close their eyes to reduce the external stimulation.
Wow.
And lower their exposure to their other basic senses. And notice their body sensations. Notice if there's anywhere in their body that is feeling tight or uncomfortable, or if there's any sharp pains or dull pains. And breathe. Breathe into that space and move the area. I tend to also get my children and myself and anyone to, I ask you to sit up. So change your posture, change just your angle that you're seeing whatever it is that's in front of you, and sit up and realign, as you said, the chakras. That's a practice that I do as well. Or stand up to just build your body energy and feel yourself grounded on the floor or the ground, wherever you may be. I also suggest reaching straight up with both arms and even looking straight up. I remember old school Tony Robbins, Personal Power, back when it was cassette tapes, listening to him talk about looking straight up to the sky and smiling. And even though in the moment it's not authentic, it actually changes some of the brain chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sitting up, standing up, reaching up, looking up. And I also find that sometimes energy gets locked or blocked in the fingers and feet. So I move around the ankles and the wrists, and I open and close my fingers and my hands and just kind of shake them out a little bit, and that gives me some release. Another thing I do in the moment is I go through the basic senses exercise. I usually just choose like three basic senses. If I'm feeling afraid or if I'm feeling fearful and I know it's not immediate danger, but I'm still feeling like, oh my gosh. And this takes practice to be able to get present, but to do, and you may have heard of this, where you just name one thing that you can see, name one thing that you can hear, something that might be in the background if you're in a quiet space, and name one thing that you taste, like a taste in your mouth or that you smell in the air. And that takes you right back to the present moment. So I think that's the first thing in the moment, if we're feeling fearful or anxious, is to really get present by doing something that brings us to this present moment. And again, going back to, the breath, and feeling the feelings fully. So, you know, like this podcast, talking stuff out, it's actually very therapeutic to talk it out.
But very much.
Safe person. If you're feeling afraid and you're feeling like crying, cry it out, or go to a safe space, cry it out. There is nothing more cleansing than a good cry. And journaling, as you had mentioned, is an incredible way to deal with getting our emotions out and just offloading it and possibly making sense of it. Obviously, watching the news is very fearful these days. There doesn't seem to be much more that gets talked about. So I've pretty much just tuned out, and I'm very, very strategic about looking at the news, listening to the news, watching the news now, and have become more and more that way over the last several years, because they really are specific about the information they're giving. And there's a whole lot that's going on in the world besides this very unfortunate and very serious pandemic. But so we need to maintain some perspective. And then there's also the long-term work that we can do, the preventative stuff, such as the emotional intelligence work and really getting self-aware and really understanding our emotions and doing that deeper dive, to use your word. I think it's really important that we understand what our triggers are and what our impulses are, our impulses in that impulsive thought that we might have, the impulsive words that we might say when we're heated and afraid and we're upset that somebody isn't social distancing or whatever it might be, somebody too close to us in a grocery store. I think that, you know, we really need to work on our triggers and our impulses. And in looking at our thoughts, one of the things that I found really useful also was to ask myself, and it takes practice to get in that moment, to be able to ask yourself, is this thought helpful or unhelpful? Because the thoughts sometimes, well, oftentimes in a state of fear or anxiety can be untrue. And so if we can capture ourselves, and you just have to keep practicing it, because it's not automatic for most of us until we actually start practicing. So really the long-term sort of practices are things that we have to do over time. I think self-care can never be overdone. I think we have to be so careful to, you know, be mindful of getting good nutrition into our bodies. I like to practice making sure I get the whole rainbow of fruits and veggies into my body every day. So I try to be very mindful of getting all the colors of the rainbow of fruits and veggies in. Doing movement and not feeling guilty about how long it is or how intense it is. I know some people are pretty particular about their bodies, what they look like, and what constitutes a really good workout. But just even 10 minutes of moving around, we need that movement every single day. And I think sleep is something that we have to have a really important regimen around sleep. So there's the physical care, there's the mental health care, and of course there's the energy and spiritual care that is, I think, so important. And right now we need to be either meditating or praying daily. There's so much unknown out there. There's so much uncertainty out there. We really are, all of us are struggling in one way or another around our finances, our emotional health, our mental health, our family health, our physical health, the fear of catching the virus. There's so much that we can do to calm our minds in the moment around just doing, as you say, working with the chakras and spinning those chakras and getting those energy centers fired up so that we feel a little bit more empowered within in our spirit. Mm-hmm. And in praying to God, if we prefer to just sit in prayer. And, you know, there's grounding techniques out there with where we can visualize when we stand up and we stand on the ground and we imagine our root chakra or the base of our spine and a bright light connecting us down to the earth, right to the core of the earth, and really feeling solid and grounded and empowered. Because we are all given that gift of empowerment, but we don't all access it and we don't always believe it. Mm-hmm. But it's there for us. It's there for us, whether we're sitting or standing or able to. There's always a way that we can power ourselves up. And that is something we can do in our minds and in our bodies. It's just knowing about it and understanding it and really being aware that, you know, chronic fear and anxiety can negatively impact all the aspects of our health, our physical health, you know, our mental health, our emotional health, everything. It can impact our brain processing and the amygdala hijack, you know, going back to that book that you were talking about, it's real. Our brain does not work properly unless we train it, unless we train ourselves and practice these things.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I am blown away. Everything that you just shared with us are incredible, very, very actionable things that we can all start doing right now. I mean, even as we were talking, it happened again. I changed my physiology. I took a deep breath, you know, just listening to you. And it's these are things that we can do even as we're listening to this podcast. So 100%. I am, you know, so excited to share this with everyone. And I thank you and honor you for all of your beautiful energy and vibes and wisdom. This has been an absolute treat. And I want to encourage my fam to go and support Niall. She is on Twitter. I see that you're on LinkedIn. You are on Instagram. And then I see you also started a podcast.
I'm just in the initial stages and I can really learn from you, my friend.
So excited. You are wonderful. Well, I definitely want to encourage everyone to go and support Niall. Follow her, send her messages, share this podcast with friends and family, especially during this hard time. Please know that you are not alone. You are loved. You are supported. We are here for you. If there is anything extra that you would find helpful, you know, feel free to reach out to either one of us. I know that my DMs are always open. Niall, I'm sure yours are as well. And we are here to love on you guys. So thank you so much. Are there any other social media platforms or anything else that you would like to share with anyone to follow, like, support, et cetera?
Well, I think there's a lot of incredible people on Twitter right now, and I think you are a fantastic force on Twitter as well. And I'm just really honored to be here. There are so many resources out there, and I think you said it all in a nutshell. We're just here to love and support each other and everyone as best we can, and we're all in this together.
We are, absolutely. Hashtag we are stronger together. Amazing.
Yes.
Thank you again, Niall. It's been such an honor.
Thank you. Likewise. Thank you so much, Lizzie.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and tune in next week for a new topic. To help spread the good vibes, please share this episode with friends and family. Or if you share on social, be sure to tag me at Coach Lizzie.